You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dr. Yes, I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast and 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the West Coast. And we have a real exciting show for you, and I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But first, I wanted to mention that there are a couple people that help bring this show to you, and one of them is Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. And as you know, I've been a customer of Steve's. Listen, I'm telling you, how long do you think your money's going to last in the bank? Every time I go on, no matter where I go, economic collapse bag, class bog, InfoWars, it doesn't matter where you go. The stories are there. The evidence is there. And I've been converting my soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals, and I'd recommend that you take a look at that. Steve is one of the most low-pressure guys I know, and if it's not right for you, he'll tell you. Call him tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Also want to give a shout-out to my good friend at Ready Made Resources, Bob Griswold. And he's Mr. Prepper. I mean, anything that you need under the sun, from night vision to water treatment to whatever you need, Bob has it. And I'm going to talk more a little about his products in the third hour. And you can reach Bob at 800-627-3809. That's 800-627-3809. And if the economy goes down, so will food distribution. And take a look at your food supplies. We recommend 6 months to a year. I realize that's a tall order for some people, but just do what you can in the beginning. You know, I represent Numana, and I think they're the very best. No gluten. They avoid everything that's negative. They scientifically research their food before they reproduce it. Great prices, great distribution opportunities. Go to Numana.com/Hodges to see the great product line availabilities we have, as well as the great prices, which are as competitive as anybody out there. Well, that takes care of our preliminary business. Let me tell you about the show very quickly. In just a moment, we're going to be joined for the first 2 hours by John B. Wells. And yes, I'm hearing the rumbling out there. It's been far too long since we had JB on, and it's about time. And we're not going to make that mistake. We're going to certainly reach out to him more often because he's such a wealth of information. And in the third hour, Ted Brower is going to be running the health report tonight, and he said he's got a whole lot of good stuff to talk about. I spoke to Ted briefly yesterday, and he's got some things on the table that you're going to want to listen to. And in the third hour, we're going to talk to Ronnie McMullen, and he's an interesting guy, and he's got an interesting take on a lot of different current events. And we're going to get into some things with him in the third hour. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Well, we really appreciate you being with us. And I'm telling you, fasten your seatbelts, because with all that's going on, in fact, let me back up here before I bring John in. When I sit down to write in the morning or the evening, sometimes I just look up and I say, please guide me. Tell me what to write, Lord. There's so much, I don't even know where to start. And I'm going to ask John a real difficult question when we bring him in. Where do we start? Anyway, John B. Wells, one of the most recognizable, if not the most recognizable voice in America, former host of Coast to Coast, and I want to say very popular host to host. There you go. I can say that three times fast. Also, the current host of Caravan to Midnight, one of the best shows out there with great guests, great topics. And join me in welcoming my friend John B. Wells to the Common Sense Show. John, thanks for joining us.
David, it's good to be with you. Thanks very much for having me on. It's been a little bit too long, brother.
Oh, my gosh, I know. It's just, time just gets away, and every time I think I got to reach out to you, and then I've sent you a couple text messages, and we've gone back and forth, but anyway, we got this done, and with our two schedules, I think we're lucky to have this done. But, John, as you heard me say in the intro, there's just so much, I don't even know where to start when I write. Tell me what's on your radar screen. If you were to look at the top one or two things that has your attention right now, what would that be?
Well, this may seem like it comes out of left field, but it really doesn't. It's been about 30 years in the making, but I'm watching what's happening here, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is exactly the same thing, the same method, the same playbook that was used to turn South Africa from a one-time nuclear power and ally of the United States into certainly second world, if not third world country now, using the, exactly the same techniques, the same bombing strategy, the same freedom fighting banners and that nonsense. And I'm watching this attempt being made to put this country under complete control, and the way that it'll be done is the same way it was done with South Africa. What really did it for me is when I saw a picture of South Africa's last white president, F.W. de Klerk, who was, by all accounts, every bit the dirtball, perhaps not the philanderer, but certainly the character, the low character of a Bill Clinton. And when I saw him standing next to this other man, I thought, well, no, isn't that interesting? Guess who the other man was? George Soros. Oh, George Soros. George Soros should spend the rest of whatever's left of his life enjoying what I like to describe as the minimalist comforts of a concrete holding cell. I don't understand where this man is left to fund the programs that he does, agitate on the level that he agitates, and somehow skirts the law. I suspect there are a few countries out there that he dares not go into because he may be subject to arrest, but at this moment I don't know of any. But, and then, of course, we've got these things blowing up back east there. And then we've got the shooting in Philadelphia, and we've got the shooting in Fort Worth, Texas, right down the road. And then we've got the lunatic that went out and stabbed a bunch of people in Minnesota. And I refer to the cops that were, and the woman that was shot seven times in the torso in Philadelphia by another disaffected black moron. And we just continue to indulge the worst of our society and somehow think that it's all right because we have this guilt complex that's been sold to us by a bunch of people who are nothing but, frankly, liars and people who seek to control the population. There's only one way to do it, and that's to alter everybody's perception of what reality truly is into their idea of what reality is. And they seem to be pretty successful at it so far, but their initiative seems to be losing a little steam. I think, you know, David, I am so happy. It really appears that people are waking up. It's just that there are a bunch more of them that need to wake up too, and they need to do it pretty quick, because even the ones on the left, they think that somehow they're safe, but they're not. And so what we want to do is, I'm pretty good at division myself, from one standpoint, when I say, you know, the left just represents everything to me that is not normal, is not sane.
I agree.
But we need them too. We need to convince them, listen, you probably don't even know why you identify yourself as a progressive. Why is it that people wanted to support Bernie Sanders? But why do you like socialism? Because it's more fair. Well, that's what they've been sold. This is the problem with what Alexander Pope described as a little learning. It's a little learning is a dangerous thing. But some of these leftists will say, well, you know, a little education is a dangerous thing. It's like, no. No, a little education is a good thing. It's a little learning. It's a bad thing. In other words, we don't want to teach a monkey how to shoot the gun because the judgment's not there. Monkey knows how to shoot the gun, but what it's pointed at, what will the monkey point it at? And so, we need some re-education, all right. In fact, I think before we even get to the re-education, we might start with just some education, just leave off the RE for the moment, and let's just go with some actual education, because if the alternative media had not come to the fore like it has done, the globalist, leftist, progressive agenda, communist agenda is all it is in the end, would have already been fulfilled. So as it is, it's liable to be a lot more dangerous for those of us who still maintain some semblance of sanity and a concept, a solid concept of what human freedom is. It may be rougher on us now because we might have gone easy if, so to speak, if we had not become as aware as we are. But now that the globalists are becoming increasingly more aware that we are aware of what they are doing, they're just going to bite and snap and fight harder than they would have otherwise.
No, I totally agree with you. In fact, I've told this story many times on the show before, but the people on the inside who know, a FEMA friend of mine, 20 years a friend, I knew his whole family extremely well. They bugged out almost 4 years ago. His specialty was counter-bioterrorism. And I said, well, why are you going to this extreme measure with other like-minded people from FEMA and DHS who are retired? And he said, because we're the brown shirts. He said, we'll be the first ones killed because we'd be the first ones called to testify if they lose. And he said, it's coming, Dave. If they can't get us under control in this country, he said, genocide is coming. And I said, what form? He thought bioterrorism. What do you think about that, John?
Well, I think anything is possible. That certainly is the bioterrorism would be the most cost-effective, the most wide-ranging, and the most terrifying instrument to employ to to re-educate the people into looking to the government to save them. That's entirely possible. But then again, anything will work. Like what the Japanese said when it looked like invasion was going to happen. So it doesn't really matter what we do. We're going to kill all of the prisoners that we have, and it doesn't matter. Shoot them, stab them, burn them, poison them, run over them, bludgeon them, bury them, do whatever you have, gas them, poison them. It doesn't matter. Just kill them. So it's not going to be just one thing. It'll be a variety of techniques that are employed if it comes to that, which it may not. It may not come to that at all. In fact, I am seeing a return. Well, the mainstream media puts out that, which is useless, it's nothing but a propaganda wing now. Just everybody just needs to forget about it. Stop buying the products of the people who sponsor those programs and just cut off the money, and before long you'll see things change. But I think there is a return to faith out there underway right now, but it's not official, it's not up in lights, it's not that more mega churches are being built. It's better than that. It's very quietly smaller gatherings of people are coming together because they understand that faith cannot be taken away. You have to give your faith away. If you're unwilling to give your faith away, then there's nothing they can do about it. There's absolutely nothing they can do about it. I think people are beginning to figure out that these things that have been mused over since, I don't know, whenever it was, 1966 or 7, whenever it was, the Time magazine, on a black cover of the magazine in red letters, put the question, is God dead? And then Elton John did his song, you know, the New York Times says God is dead. Oh, and the New York Times is Time magazine. But just asked the question, and it wasn't a statement. But these things sink into the human psyche and begin to infuse some doubt. Well, you know, and then you get these people like Krauss, Lawrence Krauss, that comes on there. Well, I'm a scientist, and as a scientist, I just don't believe that. You know, well, how completely disingenuous and, in my opinion, completely phony. Oh, so you're a scientist? Yes. And so you know damn well how the universe was created, right? It's so cool, it created itself. Is that it? Really? Now that sounds like some of the witterings of a person on some sort of an acid trip or something that decided that the acid trip was so vivid that it must have been reality. But unfortunately, these people, by the way, Krauss was a friend of, maybe still is, of Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile. Why am I picking on him? Because I allowed him to come on the program on Coast to Coast, and I did not tear him a new ASS. But in those days, I was being the gentlemanly host of Coast. It would be a different story now. I would reduce him to scattered molecules of intellect if it were to happen again. So I can't do that because he won't come anywhere near me ever again. And so I'll just do it by proxy. I'll do it through you, Mr. Hodges.
Well, you're welcome to. You've got the microphone. But, you know, you reminded me of my first radio gig. And I had gone on this guy's show three times to talk about how the government was trying to steal my property and that of my neighbors. And he offered me a show. And he gave me free rein, except there were a few limitations. He said, Dave, I got to dial this in a little bit. And that was regular radio. Isn't it such a freeing experience, John, to be able to go on the air and just say exactly what you want to say?
Yeah, and you know, actually, those halcyon days have returned in limited fashion. Actually, we produce new programs for Caravan to Midnight Tuesday through Friday, but on Saturday between 10 and midnight Central Time, we're on radio station KLIF in Dallas, and because we pay for the program, there is nobody saying anything. It was funny. I asked the legendary PD over there, man who actually discovered Rush Limbaugh, you know, is there anything you don't want done? He said, well, just don't say, you know, the S word on the air. And we've had three people come on there and do exactly that. Two with a B in front of it and one with just the plain S. I'm going, what is wrong with these people? Why do they not understand? And the second time this one guy did, I said, stop saying that. Stop saying that. And he goes, well, I can't say that on the air. I said, no, you can't. And the thing is that I don't think the guy hit the dump button on the first one at all. I think he caught the second one, but I don't think he caught the first one. And in fact, I'm not sure that last night's show, I'm not sure that they got the, but he told me, the engineer told me that, that I caught it. But if you were listening to it on iHeartRadio, you didn't, he didn't dump it. It was right there because I got a message from K2 saying, our producer said, I told them not to do that. So it got out there, you know. So we'll see how it goes, you know. Maybe it's some sort of a CIA plot. Listen, just use bathroom language on the program, and they'll make him stop. You know, I don't know, but
oh boy,
it's crazy. But yeah, going back to your point, live radio really is. There's a magic to it that is undeniable because you know that people are listening. You know they're listening in real time, and you can feel that energy. And if you're doing your job right, they can feel your energy, and it's really quite something. I miss the live aspect of things, but some of the stuff that happens during the production of Caravan to Midnight is just astounding, and it would make these little boo-boos that some of the folks have made on Ark Midnight, we call it Ark Midnight, after our mothership, of course, and would make that look completely trivial. It's really wild. And we had leaned on from the outside quite a bit, not horribly, but just enough for us to understand that, you know, we're not alone in our production room.
Oh, I know. I knew a number of guests who told me the same stories. You know, I can now, as of October 1st here, so just in a couple of short weeks, we'll be in charge of the Internet. John, yeah. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know what some of the possibilities are, and that is that shows like yours and mine and many others will be subjected to extreme censorship. This United Nations is bad news. I personally think they should be, all the members should be put on a, we should recommission a mothballed aircraft carrier, put the United Nations on that and take it out the middle of the ocean and just anchor it there and leave it there. These people are, in my opinion, the United Nations is a criminal gang of idealistic idiots and fanatics. And you have only to see that wherever UN troops are put in, the chaos is soon to follow, along with rape and murder. And it's bad news. So if this sorry excuse of a president of ours, you know, people keep calling him a Manchurian candidate, but I'll get to that in just a minute. If he has his way, he will cause as much damage as he possibly can before he leaves. He doesn't want to leave. He doesn't ever want to leave. But he's going to have to. So now they're talking about if Hillary drops dead, which, you know, we should get so lucky. They may put Michelle in there. I mean, pardon me, Michael. So it's just, you know, it's not even interesting at this point, Dave. You know, it's just stupid. And the thing that makes me sick is that almost half of this country, statistically speaking, if any of the polls are to be believed, which I don't necessarily, how can almost half of our population be so stupid? wanton clinging to ignorance, refusal to acknowledge facts, even when they are presented in an unequivocally accurate manner. They still turn away from it because they don't want to believe it. Well, what does that mean when something is true but you don't want to believe it? It means that you can't control your emotions. Your emotions override your brain. They override your logical, your rational thinking processes. It's almost like being half Italian. There's no such thing as half Italian or part Italian because the Italian overwhelms everything, right? But that's how they are. And it's, but that said, the founding fathers, who are probably rotating in their graves, not just turning over, but literally rotating like they're on spits, they knew this. That's why we don't have a democracy. People need to understand two things. Number one, democracy is mob rule. It is majority rule. A constitutional republic has been put into place. Whether or not the Constitution has been suspended, and it has been, more on that if you want to get into it later, it protects us from the tyranny of the majority. If you've got 49 geniuses and 51 abject morons out there under democracy, the morons are running things. That's just how it is. So that's the purpose of a constitutional republic. And now I would like to destroy one more thing. I've already successfully torpedoed Cinco de Mayo as a joke of a holiday, because it is. I mean, why would someone want to celebrate a momentary victory by Mexican forces over a vastly numerically inferior force of the French, only to lose again about 2 weeks later? Answer, there's nothing to celebrate there. Hey, Cinco de Mayo. No, forget about it. Let me destroy this one, too. You keep hearing people, including constitutional people like Mr. Levin, for example, using the word unalienable rights. Well, that's not the word. Unalienable. Well, what do you mean? You can't turn us into aliens? No. Well, we can't be alienated from our rights. No. Well, you're going to turn us into aliens. You can't turn us into aliens. No, that's not it either. It's unalienable. If you look up the word, and it's spelled A-L-I-E-N, it means to transfer ownership. These rights are unalienable, not unalienable. Stop using that word, everybody. It's wrong. I also want you to throw out snuck, too. It's stupid. The word is sneaked, not snuck. Stupid Americans. Sorry.
You're right.
Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, but you know what we owe that to, John, is federal government intrusion. Whenever you let the federal government touch something, it goes to bathroom humor, the word I can't say, the S word. But the reality is, what is it, since No Child Left Behind, our SAT reading comprehension scores have gone down 40 points? There you go. And you asked me the question about why half the country doesn't know what the hell is going on, they don't know which end is up. My question is, why are they still turning on CNN and watching Wolf Blitzer?
Well,
what kind of sense does that make?
It doesn't make any sense. CNN's numbers are in the toilet as people turn away. They're turning away in droves, which is the thing that gives me the most hope in all of this, David, is that I think that people really are realizing that they've been taken for a ride for a long time. And to answer the other part of your question, it's too difficult. It's too difficult to raise. There was a thing in FT Times. It's too difficult. Let me finish one thing at a time. You get my head going in a bunch of different directions. I'm going to wind up giving you shotgun out the back door style answers. It's much harder to drag the undereducated, less talented, less skilled up to a level of productivity. It's much easier to drag the ones who are educated, who are intelligent, and who are talented, and who are productive. It's much easier to drag them down. You don't want a... There's no money, as Ayn Rand wrote in Atlas Shrugged. You know, these aren't a bunch of Boy Scouts up there. There's no money in a well-ordered, law-abiding society. None whatsoever. I asked this question a long time ago. Do you really think that they're going to take apart, back in those days, it was a $230 billion law enforcement and drug interdiction organization, law enforcement organization, so that no dope comes in the country? No, because what are all those cops and agents going to do for jobs if all of a sudden people start behaving themselves? So what shall we do instead? I know. and it was case closed. Two shots in the head, and they ruled it a suicide. Well, how can you even make up something that stupid if you don't have to make it up? It's a fact. That's what happened. He was shot in the head twice, and his death was ruled a suicide. Why is the border open? You know, if you have to stand there and be frisked and have to go through all this nonsense at the airport and have all your stuff looked through and be groped, and your wife and your girlfriend, your mother, your aunt, they're all being groped and x-rayed and completely stripped of any privacy, like a Jew being sent into a damn concentration camp, and this is all to fight terrorism, why the hell are the borders open? It's a lie. Need to listen to George Orwell's last speech, his last interview. It's disturbing and very, very sobering. It is up to us. But there's a meme on our Facebook page right now and it goes something like this. 1B is not really much of a big deal, but when there are a multitude of bees, even the bravest runs like hell. We are the bees. Individually, we're just a tiny sting. But all of us together in a swarm. And do we think they know this? Absolutely. Well, what's the way to keep us from getting together? Continue to divide us. And be sure and give, through mainstream media, all the attention we can on division between, let's see what's easiest. I know. Black and white. And an added component, brown and white. Not brown and black. Not brown and black against each other. Brown and black against the white racists. We're so racist that we have turned over our schools to the low-income people, primarily black, and what happened? Schools went down the toilet. We turned our neighborhoods over to those people. What happened to those? Take a look at Detroit. That's what happened. No one wants to face, look, there but for the grace of God is John Wells, the black guy, with an IQ of about 40, who has nothing, who does not know who his dad is, has never seen him, has nothing to do, mother doesn't care, on and on and on and on, list all of those things that are wrong. But, unfortunately for me, depending on how you look at it, I am of European descent. And I'll tell you this, if anybody can show me one place in the world with a high concentration of black people that runs right, I will quit my job and I will join Harry Dent and we'll both drive Uber cars in New Zealand. And I will not open my mouth again, except my job is secure because you can't tell me one place in the world with a large concentration of black people that runs right. Even a guy at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, said, as long as a Congolese or a Haitian remains the poster boy for black people, we will never have any dignity. So I thought, wow. So I got Pastor David Manning on the program, and he said he is entirely correct. David Manning, Pastor Manning up there at Adler Church in Harlem, man, he is harder on black people than any white person has ever been. He just asks them repeatedly, what is wrong with you? And he says, I fight this every day, trying to bring people up and let them and make them recognize who they are and who they can be, and that you are not being oppressed by white people. That is nothing but a narrative. It's just how it is, which I go back to South Africa. What do you got now? I'll tell you what you got. You've got 4 million white people holding a country of 64 million above water. That's what you have. Oh, that's terrible. That's, oh, you horrible racist. No, it's got nothing, racism's got nothing to do with it. It's a fact. You don't have to believe me. Just go look it up. A well-ordered society, now it's murder all over. And when they're not busy raping and killing white people, they're busy raping and killing each other. Exactly the way it was before. Now, let's look at Mexico. Are you saying that Mexicans are stupid? No, what I'm saying is that their culture is screwed up big time. They cannot get their economy together at all. They really can't. Peso's taking another dive. If it's so great down there, why does everybody want to come here? That's because it's not great down there. It's because their government is corrupt. It's because it's backed up by the military. It's under the control of a few families. And that power is backed up with force. Oh, sound familiar? That's what's happening here. But it's been hard. harder to dump this country over because people of European descent are in the majority still for a while. Even though this excuse of a president who, in my opinion, is no Manchurian candidate at all, he's a Trojan horse. More on that later. He looks forward to the time when white people are in the minority in America because to a dyed-in-the-wool Muslim/communist like him, that'll just make everything just great. Get rid of these white people. Well, I admit that white people have not done very much. They have done nothing except cross the oceans, build skyscrapers, go to the moon, split the atom, cure disease, build ships that go on top of the water and also underneath the water, create airplanes, create the internet, create computers. Last time I checked, those technologies did not come out of Zaire or Zimbabwe. So, yes, white people are just a great big useless bunch of racists. They're stupid, and they just should be annihilated. Right, Obama? And in the meantime, he kisses ASS on these Muslims. And we just had this woman who goes only by Sophia on Caravan to Midnight. Please check it out. She is a Christian who escaped an unnamed country in the Middle East because her family's still there, and they'll all be royally tortured over a period of days before they're killed and their body parts displayed for all to see. If it is ever revealed who she is or what country she comes from, then her family will be over with. She'll tell you what it's like to live under Sharia law, that these idiots like, Sean Stone has now converted to Shia Islam, and that ridiculous woman, Hilton, Paris Hilton, and Islam's really working for them. Yeah, it's working out for the Germans and the French and the English, too, isn't it? Except there aren't any, those Christians, in the Crusades. Well, people don't even know what the Crusades were. It was to reclaim land, not to go and conquer. They don't know anything about it. They act like a bunch of parrots that just repeat things that they hear and don't bother to follow up on any of it, because they're too busy. They're too busy with porn, and they're too busy with their video games, and they're just too, and their little smartphones. They drive around like a bunch of morons, doing thumb exercise on these phones and in their cars, and of course, driving a two-ton machine like that or whatever. That's incidental. That's incidental to this important work that they're doing on those smartphones. It's not a good situation, but here's the other part. The good thing about morons is they don't stick around long, unless you've got a whole lot of them. And we do have a whole lot of them, and we're getting more by the day. But the crime rate in the major cities in the United States is spiking and spiking and spiking higher and higher and higher. Do you know that over 3,000 people just so far this year have been shot in Chicago? Over 500 confirmed homicides. Now, there are a lot of stiffs lying around, but they have not been officially confirmed as homicides, but many of them are. Chicago was a great town. Yeah, I know the gangster days and all that, but still it was a great town. Well, look at it now. Look at Detroit. And I agree with Donald Trump. Once upon a time, cars were built in Flint, Michigan, and you couldn't drink the water in Mexico. Now, cars, Ford's small car division is moving to Mexico. Cars are built in Mexico, but you can't drink the water in Flint. That's what's happened. Look at Philly. Look at Baltimore. Look at Oakland. I mean, pick one. And now where the Mexicans are concerned, 28% of the prison population is Mexican, illegal, convicted of all kinds of felonies. We going to deport them? No, because the prisons are big business, see? So for every prisoner that we get, they get about, the last time I checked, it's about $35,000 a year these companies get per prisoner, just to keep them alive and keep them fed and keep some form of clothing on them. We have turned away from God. We have turned away from, therefore, we have turned away from morality. We have turned away from ethics. We have turned away from, they keep talking about fairness. Well, where's the fairness for the people who are actually holding this thing together? That would be you and me and our fellow citizens. Not this disaffected bunch that's ready to kill cops and, kill all the white people and all this. If you and I were to go out and start declaring that we should kill all the black people, how long do you think it would be before we were charged with incitement to violence and anything else that they could think of? And yet, George Soros throws his money behind Black Lives Matter, the most idiotic title for an organization ever known. And the operation just doesn't skip a beat. Old Georgie boy just keeps on rolling, sits there looking like like Jabba the Hutt with an additional 500 years on him, while Bill Clinton, another criminal, and Hillary Clinton, they're decaying right before our very eyes. And that goes for George H.W. Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of that crew and this idiot Colin Powell. Well, you know, I really hope that Colin Powell could have been the first black president. Why? He was an idiot. He acted like an idiot. Well, he looked great in his uniform. He was fairly articulate and so forth. But in one of his leaked emails, he talks about, well, you know, I really don't want to, wouldn't want to vote for Hillary, but you know, she's a friend. She's a good friend. Really? Hillary Clinton is a good friend? Hillary Clinton and all her foundations, Hillary Clinton and Benghazi, Hillary Clinton and the Vince Foster thing, Hillary Clinton, the facilitator for her husband, Bill Clinton, the rapist, she's a good friend. You know, bleep you, Powell. And whoever called her kid Colin, I thought that was a part of your gut. You know, I would say he's descending Colin now because his intelligence level has been revealed, but I digress. Anyway, you better take it away or I'm liable to get thrown
John, I'm thoroughly entertained. I mean, I sit back and I think I'm listening to political commentary mixed in with some stand-up comedy. I mean, this is great.
Well, you
this
know,
is
I believe
stuff.
What Oscar Wilde said, if you want to tell people the truth, you better do it with humor or they'll kill you.
John, they're going to kill us anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So
it's not
going
to matter.
Going in. Okay.
And you know, you're right about the whites. We are the object of division and derision. And the reason we are, you hit it on nail on the head. It's about divide and conquer. Because if blacks, Latinos, and whites all got on the same page, and we could all see how we're being ripped off. You know, I interviewed David Manning too some time back last year.
Great guy.
And what he said to me was right on the money. He said, what Clinton and the Democrats offer people of color is to stay in the same degrading place on food stamps, welfare, and no hope. And he said, this is what I have a hard time getting black people in that socioeconomic class to understand. They just don't want to break free. And, mm-hmm. and you're right about his frustration. And I agree. It's a waste of a life to spend on welfare and food stamps. I mean, it's a temporary stopgap measure for those who are misfortunate. But, John, what kind of life is that? What could you look at your kids and say, hey, I'm really proud of what I did today. I brought home all the food stamps. I mean, that it's just so depressing.
Yeah, they can say, I want respect. Unfortunately, they don't seem to be able to do anything that would actually generate some genuine respect. And, you know, and here's the thing that's stupid, and I'll just say it, because you say it now or you just shut your mouth and you don't say it ever and just wait until they plant you and anything that you might have said that might have helped, that might have raised awareness will go with you. But it's the stupid white people that follow the so-called leaders of the largely stupid black people. You know, some of these white women out there are like, we want to be able to abort our babies if we want to. Okay. We don't think that Planned Parenthood should be closed down. And we don't have a problem with our tax money being used for that because we think that that's a noble enterprise. Well, what they don't realize is that Planned Parenthood was started by a woman named Margaret Sanger.
Oh, yeah.
And it was started to deal with the Negro problem. Oh, that's
is
not
that
true. Really? Go look it up. It is true. It's completely
true.
Planned Parenthood's not going away. Did you see this article lately about how gang members have implicated CIA in dropping crates of guns, mostly AK-47s that are, by the way, Class 3 weapons, meaning fully automatic weapons? Well, they used a semi-automatic gun. Boy, the moron idiots like that guy who was all traumatized over shooting an AR-15, some guy named Kunstman, you know, some reporter. He's just an idiot. He can't help it. But semi-automatic. Boy, doesn't that sound impressive, Dave? Yeah, you bet. Well, let me tell you what's more impressive is fully automatic. And fully automatic guns have been discovered all over the inner city in Chicago. Crates of them showing up in the middle of the night. Just dump them out there. Just like, what's his name, Nicolas Cage did when he was trying to unload that airplane in Lord of War. And here comes Interpol, and he just calls all these African natives, says, here you go, take an RPG, hey, here's some grenades, and they emptied the whole plane. In fact, they stripped the plane down, they're running off with the landing gear and everything else, like they're going to do something with that, but maybe set it up and worship it or something. problem, and they intend to keep Planned Parenthood open. And yes, they do intend to keep these people on dope, hard dope, crack, whatever, meth, whatever it may be. I don't know any white people that do any methamphetamine, but I understand that it's the use of it is quite right, widespread. So do we think that maybe they're trying to deal with the Negro problem in their own way by having certain agencies drop these weapons for gang members to get a hold of, make sure there's that the supplies of dope are fully stocked, and make sure that Planned Parenthood continues its operation without skipping a beat? If I were to guess at the answer, I would say, yeah, I'm pretty sure that they understand exactly what the problem is. Now, that said, 60 million babies have been aborted, and about probably 50 million of them have been black babies. So let's all ask ourselves a question. Let's get real for a minute. Would we like 50 more million disaffected, gang-banging black members out there in our society? Would that be okay with everybody? We're in an extraordinarily horrible mess right now. I mean, and the mess hasn't even been fully realized. It hasn't been fully actualized. It hasn't been fully activated. But they're in the process of activating it now, because if they generate enough hatred and resentment between white people and black primarily, followed by brown ones, there'll be a race war. And then what happens? The force of the police and the military will come down. Well, I wonder if they've thought this through, because it doesn't look to me like they formulate these huge plans, but it doesn't appear to me they think them through very well. What will happen if the whole country is under some sort of, I don't know, not martial law necessarily, but you got cops on every corner and you got roadblocks and checkpoints and all that. Is that going to help the economy or hurt it? Then what happens? Well, David, I don't know. Does that mean that, okay, well, our economy has been damaged so badly that now we're going to do bank holidays regularly, we're going to limit your ATM withdrawals because, well, we're in a state of emergency now on account of all these race problems and so forth, so we just have to do this. And a bunch of Americans out there are going to just look at the TV and nod like, okay, they won't understand why this is necessary, but in the meantime, everything will get shorter and shorter in supply. For example, I think they've already shut down somebody's pipeline somewhere. I don't have it in front of me, so I better not address it, because I really don't know what I'm talking about there. But somebody's gotten their water or their fuel or something cut off. One of the states is in bad shape with that. How long do we think that we would have an orderly society here if there were, say, a two-day trucking strike and your grocery stores didn't get stocked? Wonder if anybody's thought of that one. You saw where a rifleman took out a power plant out there in California, and they've never found out who they were. So their best chance of success is to, as you just said, keep us completely divided. The one thing that they do not want, white, black, brown, yellow, green, purple, red, name one, they do not want us to come together, work together, be a people, instead of this race, that race, or the other race, that side, this side, our side, and those bad guys over there. As long as they keep us divided, they have us completely under control, and they do right now. Just take a look around. Now cops are getting picked off all over the country. You know, I've run into a cop with an attitude before. I didn't like it, but I never wanted to go take a firearm after him. You know what I mean? That's insane. How much have you departed reality to go take a gun? And by the way, this black guy, this moron up in, I guess it was Philly. Well, who was his first target? It was a black policewoman, a sergeant sitting in her car. Now, where's the racism there? Well, he just hates police in general. Oh, I see. So it's not you just hate white cops. You hate all cops. Is that it? And the mainstream media just keeps feeding the machine. And what does it spit out? It spits out angst, mistrust, and division. I'll stop.
John, one of the things that I have said for a long time, the worst enemy of all black people in this country who aren't already affluent is the Democratic Party. They are the ones that are keeping these people, and it's largely a socioeconomic issue that blacks happen to get caught up in because of the numbers. But there's no hope with the Democrats. I don't think there's very much hope with the Republicans either, John, but the Democrats are racist. They say, look at what white man has done to you, yet they're the ones whose policies keep black people in their place and they can't escape the poverty cycle. So it's a vicious game, and the thing is, it's frustrating for me, is if you talk about it, you're a racist. If you talk about black poverty, you're a racist, like somehow we created it. Well, you didn't create it, I didn't create it, but the Democrats sure as hell did.
Yeah, well, that's the part of the, what they don't realize is the Democrats. The Democrat Party is the party of slavery. The Democrat Party is the party of Jim Crow. The Democrat Party has purportedly been the champion of the working people, and they're the slimiest of the lot. Now, the Republicans are slimy, too, but I think they are less slimy. Slimy is slimy. It's just a question of how slimy. Being a pig is being a pig, but to what degree can you control your pigginess? Everybody is human. Everybody is subject to want to aggrandize themselves, enrich themselves, insulate themselves from the problems that ordinary people have to endure. They want to be insulated from all those things. They want to be as problem-free as they can, as comfortable as they can. Okay, I get it. That's human nature. That's why Plato said that anything other than food, shelter, and clothing was a perversion. Well, I see his point. I mean, I get it. But people are still running off of that he who dies with the most toys wins. And that gets something like that gets in your head. And it's cutesy and kind of fun and everything. But what they don't realize is words matter, just like symbols matter, just like geometric objects matter. They do affect you in some way. And when you get something in somebody's, something like that in somebody's head, it stays there. And we've had a lot of that. You can have it all through the 90s. She's a woman of the 90s. She can bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan and never forget that you're a man and blah, 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 and all of this. You know, there's this huge gay parade in Dallas today. And I was driving along with the Divine Miss B. More on her later. And I'm going, you know, this is really weird. And I had asked, I had asked several people this, but when I asked her, I said, you know, why is it that, now this is going to really get some people, but just try it out, you know. Why is it that you can look at somebody, I'm not talking about some little hand-holding, really effeminate acting man. I'm just saying, why is it so easy to look at one of the guys at the Whole Foods Market or here or there, whatever, and be able to tell instantly this person's gay? Why? And the response was, it's because it's a demon. And I believe that it is. Now, some people go, oh, God, really? Yeah, let me tell you something. These demons exist. They've been spoken of for a long time. They're written up in Scripture. I mean, demons exist. Unseen forces that take a form of a humanoid or not, or they're invisible, or it's just an invisible entity that you can see leering at you through the face of a man who's sitting on the sidewalk, absolutely lost and on his way to death because of his alcohol and street drug addiction. And it's like you see these guys going by, and they're in shape, you know, and they're rubbed, tupped, and scrubbed, you know, they're well groomed, but you can tell that they're gay. And you know what she said? She said, you know, it's a shame that that's a man, that's a strong man who could have been a good father and a good husband and raised a good baby, but instead, that demon has them, and they are locked into this lifestyle, and that will be that. The lifestyle will take over what they could have been, and they will not be that strong man who is a strong husband and who is a strong father and who raises with his wife a good baby. And it is a shame. We don't have a moral compass that does anything other than let its needle spin. The needle is just spinning. When you try to appeal to everybody, you appeal to nobody. When you try to accommodate everybody, you accommodate nobody. And people simply, they go, oh, you know, that sounds too open and shut. That sounds too cliche. That just sounds too good to be true. Well, it is true. You have to pick a side, right or wrong, good or bad, perverse or not perverse. It's your choice. It is your choice. Oh, that's right. It's your free will. God or don't serve God, believe in Christ or don't. It's your choice. How's it working out for you? Well, I'm happy. Are you? Well, not really. Well, what's the matter? Stuff in your head, stuff in your heart, lack of direction, lack of commitment, lack of serving something outside yourself, lack. Well, I would remind people, and I'll take this opportunity to remind you, that it's not Jesus Christ who's accusing you of being a liar or a cheat or an adulterer or a philanderer, you know, just a bad person. It's not Christ accusing you of that. That's the enemy. Christ forgives you. The enemy accuses you. So remember it. And don't ever forget it. That's not Jesus accusing you of being a bad person. That's what you call Satan. And I think that people better wrap their minds around that, because just about everyone can think about a moment at which they should have been dead, but they weren't. That they had no hope, and suddenly, and they finally said, I can't do this. I can't do this. And they go, you know what? I know it's symbolic and nothing more. I know it does not add any power to my prayer, or does it? To humble yourself visibly, physically, in this physical world, drop to your knees and say, Father, I am in deep trouble. I cannot do it without you. I pray that you will rescue me from this, because if you don't, I'm over with. If you really exist, show yourself to me in a way that I'll know it. I'm a very stupid individual. I think I'm smart. My friends think I'm smart. But deep down inside, I know that I'm not capable of creating a universe. I have no idea why I'm alive. I have no idea where I was before I was here. I only know that I am here, and I'm in deep stuff. Would you please help me? And he will help you. But you got to turn loose of yourself, because you're not in control of anything. Look around and be honest, people. Just examine your life. Just for a minute, just examine your life, and you tell me, how much are you really in control of? What did you really accomplish? Or did you have help? Were you led? Were you put into the position that you are now? Or did you really do it? That's the only thing I can agree with that joke of a president on, and that is, you didn't do that, somebody else did that. Well, that's true, but not in the sense that he meant. God put you where you are right now, Dave. God put me where I am right now. I didn't do it. He did it. Pride, the deadly pride, is the rejection of the proposition that we rely on God for everything, including your very next breath. And if you decide that you're doing it, then you have just cut yourself off from the life that you could have had, because you're just so smart that you can run it all. Well, I ask again, how's that working out for you? So consider it. Consider it. Consider that you, what if I'm right about this? What if? You want to risk that, or you want to take a minute and examine it? I urge you to do that. There's no money in it for me. There's no slap on the back. There's no aggrandizement. There's nothing in it for me to say this to anybody. Complete strangers out there have no idea who they are. We may not even like each other. But as human beings on this planet, we can love each other. And as Bishop Sheen said in one of his eloquent little things, he's Catholic and all that. It's got nothing to do with it. The words that the man spoke were exactly right on. If we can love each other long enough, we might find that we actually like each other. But let's let the love come first. The love, that's the respect that we are here on this planet together, and that's just how it is. And we may fight, and we may argue, and we may yell at each other, but we have to do it in furtherance of love, not in furtherance of destroying each other, because if we go that way, that is surely what will happen. Like a bunch of corn beetles. There's a thing out in Africa called a corn beetle. You put a bucket of them, put a cover on it, and one of them will crawl out. They will kill each other. There will be a soul survivor. Is that what we are? Are we corn beetles? No. We're human beings. Different from everything else. Well, you know, I mean, there's a vast universe out there. Yeah, Earth isn't so special, right? They think that they've found something around, what is it, Proxima Centauri. It's only 4 million light years away. Wow, that's relatively close. Really? 4 million light years? Well, I guess it's closer to 50 million light years, but still kind of way over yonder, if you know what I mean. But we think that it could support Earth-like life. Yeah, well, it's still 4 million light years away, dumbasses. Okay, so pipe down over there. This is a special planet. This is a special creation. You look into Scripture and you start reading it, and you're going to find out that all of these things that you heard about from some hippie biker was actually something that he heard when he was a child in Scripture, put a little bit of a spin on it, and then spat it out of it as some sort of hippie wisdom. Read the book. Start with this. It'll take you less than an hour. Read the first 10 chapters of Matthew. Some of the chapters aren't even a page long. Skip the first column if you want to. Come back to it later because it's a lot about lineage and so forth. Just come back to it after a while. Read what the Lord said. Just read it. And I promise you, I'm using the word promise. You will feel better. Number two, it will not harm you. Number three, it will help you. I don't care who you are. Do it. Just try it. And if I'm wrong, go to our Facebook book page and build me a new backside. I'm a big guy. I can take it. I can take a trimming if I've got one coming, but you're not going to do it. You're going to agree. It won't harm you. It'll help you. And you will feel better. Anyway, thank you for
listening. Well, John, I couldn't agree with you more. You really covered the divide and conquer very well. I mean, I know what my values are as a Christian, but the gay straight issue, you're so right. It's used to divide us. The black white issue is used to divide us. Immigration is used to divide us. And you know, and the sad part is, and say this quickly because we're going into break in just a moment, but you look at how immigrants are treated. They come here, they're off the books, they'll never be citizens. And I want, if you're listening to this and you are here and you're undocumented, you will never be a citizen. Ever. Ever. Why? Because the corporations want to keep you where you're at. On the plantation. They don't want to pay for your workman's comp, your disability, your social security. They're going to keep you right where you're at, where they're promising you every time. It's white people that are keeping you from becoming citizens, and what a bunch of bull hockey that is. John, we're going to break here. We're going to go into break, and we come back. Let's expand into other areas. I'm going to be asking you, you brought up the planetary issue, I'm going to be asking you about that. Are they really here? And you know, it's something that I'm beginning to consider again, too, because we're seeing so many references to it. So we come back with J.B. Wells. We're going to cover the whole gamut. We got a whole another hour to go. We're just getting started. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll see you back here in 3 minutes.